Well, greetings and welcome to The Driving Line, the audio-only traveling version of The Dividing Line. I'm currently somewhere near the border of Missouri and Arkansas. I'm speaking this evening in Jonesboro, and I'm supposed to be there in about an hour and 45 minutes or so. I mean, I'll arrive in that area. I'm not speaking in an hour and 45 minutes. Anyway, oh, it says Branson next right. I don't think I'm actually right next to Branson, but anyway, I'm out in the boonies. It's a very cloudy, gray day as I'm driving along here. So before I forget, a couple things I need to get to. The first, a real positive little thing. This past weekend, as I was speaking there in St. Charles, where I've spoken for 22 years, was when I would go over to the left-hand side of the stage on Saturday, there was a family there, and the youngest seemed to be a little blonde-headed girl, just as cute as a button, and found out her name was Zoe. And so I tried to get Zoe to talk to me, and she was doing the I'm too shy to talk to the scary Scottish man. But she'd sort of try to hide and give, you know, that smile that you get. So I explained to her that her name is Zoe from Greek, and it means life, and stuff like that. But what had drawn my attention to her, and there were lots of great people there this weekend, and young families, and it was wonderful. What drew my attention was every time I go over there and I'd look down there, she's looking right at me. She is paying attention. You know, sometimes kids are there and you can tell they'd rather be doing something else, but Zoe was listening. And so I made reference to her a few times, and she'd get that little embarrassed grin on her face, and it was, you know, I'm a grandpa, it was fun. And I found out she's just a little bit younger, probably about 6 months younger than my Clementine. And so Saturday night, after the last session, most of the rest of the family came over, and the older kids or young adults said, she's really not that shy. I had a feeling that probably once she warms up to you, she's quite a firecracker. And so they said, you just have to ask her about Ephesians 1:5. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. So a few minutes later, they bring her over. And I can tell she's getting her courage up to say something to me. And so finally she says, what do you think of Ephesians 1:5? So I grabbed my phone, I opened up Accordance, and I went over to Ephesians 1:5, and yes, thank you very much. Oh, take. Okay, I'll do that. I'll take the exit on the right. I'm glad it did that. I would have completely missed it. Anyway, I sat down and I showed her. I said, "Would you like to see what Ephesians 1:5 looked like when it was first written?" Now, I didn't show her a manuscript or something. I'm not going to be that obtuse, but I showed it to her in Greek, and I read it for her in Greek, and then I looked at her and said, you know, young people can learn languages much better than us older folks, and I would challenge you, you should learn Greek. And her eyes got real big, and I said, I bet you'd be able to do that real well. I bet you there's some books out there and stuff like that. And I looked on Sunday, and they weren't there on Sunday. So the whole reason I tell you this story, other than it's just wonderful to see these young people and homeschooled kids and Christian families, and it's very, very encouraging and things like that. If you happen to be that family, or if you know who they were and have contact with them or something like that, could you get in touch with Rich at the number that's available on the website? I would like to get an email address. I'd like to be able to get in touch with you. I'd like to sort of follow up on my conversation with Zoe. And so the only way that I know to do that is this way. For some reason, not as many people will listen to audio as will watch video, which is strange. But, I mean, I am wearing a kuji. You are missing the glorious, possibility of seeing this kuji. But other than that, it's pretty much the same information, one way or the other. So if you all could get in touch, that would be great. Just give Rich a call at the number on the website, aomin.org, and that would be wonderful. Next, I will continue on US 67. I will do that. Thank you. Next, I had a conversation last week with Tony Arsenal, and I had mentioned a while back on the dividing line that he had contacted one of my fellow elders, Jeff Durbin. And Tony Arsenal felt that I, as he put it, mispainted him, or I guess misrepresented him in some fashion. As I explained to him, I assume if you contact someone else's elders that you actually have a complaint against them, a complaint of sin or something like that. No, that's not why I did that. There were people who were taking what you said and they were misinterpreting it and they were coming to wrong conclusions, and I just felt like you needed to know that, and you made it sound like I'm unwilling to have dialogue and discussion, and there are people who took it that way, and so I want you to clarify that. And so if there is anyone out there, Tony Arsenal wants you to know that he is open to dialogue and discussion, and that he didn't just not respond to things. He didn't respond to me, but he responded to my fellow elder, and that he's open to having those kinds of conversations, etc., etc. Now, at the same time, he said to his folks that they should me, and listen to the dividing line, and I haven't blocked on Twitter, so it's probably best in the long run that we just do our separate things and move on from there. But he wanted to make sure that our audience was aware that he was not in any way unwilling to have those types of conversations. So I said, I'll let everybody know. Don't want to mispaint you or misrepresent you. And so there you go. There's that. Now, the conference was on the assertions of simplicity and inseparable operations, and contrasted a biblical understanding of those concepts with the philosophical understanding of those concepts derived from Thomas Aquinas and things like that. But at the beginning of, I think it was, because Friday night, you may recall, Friday night was the big Twitter dump of material documenting the fact that the Biden campaign, the DNC, the DNC is the de facto government in the United States now. The House, Senate, President, Supreme Court, they're not really in charge anymore. The DNC is. And they tell everybody else what to do. And, I mean, Biden obviously is not in charge of anything. Biden doesn't know which way to get off the stage, doesn't know what day it is. He's just eating ice cream and is a figurehead. We all know that. The man's senile. That's not even a questionable issue. But it's the people behind him that are in charge. It's the DNC. And the DNC, during the run-up to the major cultural event of the 11th month of the 20th year of the 21st century. Now, why would I say it that way? Well, I made reference at the very beginning of my presentation, literally in the first minute, I said if we can sort of set aside all the things that would distract us right now, like the information coming out demonstrating that the 2020 election was stolen, and I just said it in passing, like, let's put all that aside and let's focus on the doctrine of the Trinity. And then I made the argument that, in fact, even though it's hard for us to, you know, we're looking at these things going, wow, this is incredible stuff now, our answers to these things, our answers to the attack upon man as created in the image of God and the entire foundations of Western civilizations that came to us from the scriptures, requires us to be dealing with these things. We can't just lay them off to the side. We can't just say, you know, we're not going to worry about this stuff anymore. And so I did sort of follow up on that. Well, this morning I get a text from one of the gentlemen at the church, and it's a notification that that video has been removed from YouTube. And you know why? The whole thing's on the doctrine of the Trinity, but I mentioned the stolen election of 2020. You cannot say the words, according to Google. Now, we all know why that is. It's obvious why that is. I mean, if you think that if you think Twitter was bad, it's painfully obvious that Facebook and Google, which owns YouTube, that these folks are doing everything Twitter was doing and more, which means the Department of Justice, the DNC, which runs now, the Department of Justice and FBI are just extensions of the Democratic National Committee. That's the frightening reality of the United States today, is there is no Department of Justice any longer. And if you have sent here in the state of Arizona, the Secretary of State, Hobbs, her representative is sending stuff to Twitter. Please take these accounts down. Done. It's okay. It's taken care of. So, and of course she's in charge of the election too. Yeah, talk about corruption. She'll never be a legitimate governor. She will be the governor. I know that's going to end up happening, sadly, but she'll never be legitimate, and we all know that. Anyway, if you say those words, if you simply just express the thought for which there is a ton of evidence, you're gone. You're censored. You're out. So you know that Google is doing this. Well, of course Google is doing it, partly because Google is 99.9% ultra-leftist communists, basically. And at the same time, they are in perfect harmony with these tech giants in censoring anything that would get in the way of their establishment of a totalitarian regime. So you can't even say it. You cannot even say the words, or they will shut you down. So the folks at the church edited out that section. I mean, it does sort of leave the comments came afterwards without a little bit of a context, but just edit out that section, repost it. Hopefully that will take care of the issue. But it's just astonishing to realize how quickly and how obviously they don't care that we know. They do not care that we know. And I really wish our citizenry was made up of reading people. Of people who read and study. Because if it was, then our nation would recognize what's going on. Because we would read history. And when we would read history, we would recognize what happened in the Soviet Union. We would recognize, going through a 13-foot lane, and that means they're going to throw you over onto the rumble strips. there's nothing you can do about it. Anyways, we would recognize that if Alexander Solzhenitsyn was here, he'd be waving a big flag in front of all of us going, "Don't you see what's happening? It's starting all over again." They left the Soviet Union, invaded your universities, and now they're in control. It's exactly what's happened. They used up, their economic system can never work. And so they drove the Soviet Union in the ground. And then they just, like a rats running off a sinking ship, came over here, and now they're just repeating everything here. It's starting all over again. And if you look how the Soviets treated the church then, you'll see how they're going to be treating us in the very near future. And in fact, today, I believe, the oral arguments are being heard on yet another case where the issue truly is, can the woke left force Christians out of the public sphere? And that's what it's about. Because it's basically, do you have to express approval of, promotion of homosexuality, gay marriage, transgenderism, and you know that within a very brief period of time, pedophilia. Because it's already all around us. It's astonishing how quickly. Most of us can still remember, 6 months ago, when everybody would say, "Oh, don't be crazy. That's not no." It's right there. Wow, there's a lot of oversized loads on this road. I'm following one, and one just went past me. So it's like, okay, we'll all just go off the side of the road here. And anyway, so it's happening very, very, very quickly, and you simply cannot even express in words. And so you know that what's really going on is, it's one thing to censor expression. What they want to do is to stop the very thought. They want to control, it's thought control. I retweeted this creepy, scary clip with Klaus Schwab, who I think is probably, Klaus Schwab is Lenin, Stalin, Mao, Hitler, and Xi Jinping all rolled into one really creepy supervillain. But he really is a supervillain. I mean, he's the real thing. Evil enslaver right there. And he's walking amongst us. He's free to go where he wants and live the high life that he's living. I guarantee you, he doesn't worry about how much fossil fuel he's using. No, not at all. But he will have you freezing cold in your home. And, the people that are the most in danger from this fake energy crisis, because it is a fake energy crisis. The only reason there's any problem with the price of oil or anything else is because these people are creating it. It's purposeful on their part. But the people that are the most in danger from that are grandma and grandpa, and they were the people that during the COVID pandemic, oh, you want to kill grandma and grandpa because you won't wear your mask and won't get your poison shot and all the rest of that kind of stuff. It is just astonishing, the hypocrisy. But again, don't forget the quotation of posted it 10 times. Hypocrisy is intentional on the part of these people. Absolutely intentional. It is meant to break us down. It is meant to make us repeat lies. And that's what the Supreme Court issue is today. Can you be forced to repeat lies? That's the question. Can you be forced to confess that lies are truth? Because if I have to use fake pronouns of some dude in a dress, then that's, you know, so last thing Solzhenitsyn said to the Russian people before he was exiled, do not live by lies. And using fake pronouns of dudes in dresses who steal luggage so they can wear other women's, they can wear women's clothes. We know who that is. That's living the lie. That's living the lie. And there's a pretty strong Christian ground for saying, do not live according to lies. Do not live according to lies. There's no question about it. So, anyway, covered a few of those things. Like I said, if you're in the Jonesboro area, I'm not sure when Rich will get this posted, but if you're in the Jonesboro area, I'll be speaking this evening. And then on Wednesday night, I'll be in Emory, Texas. Emory, Texas. I believe talking about the reliability of Scripture. I think that's my topic both in Emory and Lubbock. I'm not 1,000% certain on that, and I'm not going to check right now. But state border. Yay. I guess I'm now in Arkansas. Please feel free to come out and say hello. And I should be wearing Coogees each night. I don't get dressed up for these things on the road. Mainly, because I've got places to go and things to do and not a whole lot of time. You know, I think I just passed the place. Oh man, I should have stopped there. I mean, I've got enough gas to get there, but I think that's the place I stopped a long time ago. They had excellent cheeseburgers. I've gotten some of the most amazing cheeseburgers in foil wrappers at these gas stations just out in the middle of nowhere. Yeah, really good. Anyways, I try to be positive. Okay, thanks for listening to The Driving Line. I'll try to get this to Rich as soon as possible. And pray for my safety as I travel. We'll see you next time. God bless.